The following podcast is recorded and produced by the Podcast Precinct in affiliation with the network at bicbp-radio.com. The Podcast Precinct. Consistency, creativity, culture.
Welcome back to the Starry Night Theater Podcast. I am your host, DJ. Shoot over to Alex. Great intro, man. Great intro. Now we'll shoot over to our special guest over here. Oh my God, that's great. That's a great intro there. Yeah, if you couldn't tell, I am alone. I'm completely alone in this cave. And I didn't realize I was going to be alone today until about 7 o'clock, but we had the 9 o'clock time blocked out for us. So I'm here. I'm making the best of it. And I'm talking about this new season, man. I am stoked about what's coming up. But before we get to that, I'm here today, Sunday, June 16th, Father's Day. Shout out to all the fathers out there. Last Father's Day, we had, my father and Jesse on. So I didn't want to text anybody this morning at 7 o'clock and be like, yo, you want to come down to the pod studio? Didn't seem right. So I'm going to trudge through this alone. My allergies are killing me. I can't hear myself in my headset. I got nobody to play off of, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to try my best. But anyway, shout out to the fathers. Shout out to my dad. Dad, if you're listening, love you. Thank you for bringing me into this world and teaching me everything that you've taught me. I would not be who I am without you. And building off of that, I have a cool idea for your show. So one of the big changes this season is Night of the Living Dead is not on the schedule. It is instead replaced by Spirits of the Dead. So before I drove into the pod studio today, I figured I'd go to the theater, grab a brochure so I know what I'm talking about and don't sound like a fool. So I pull up, I get out, I leave my phone in my car because I'm playing music, don't want to reconnect. And I'm like, this will be 2 seconds, I'll go in, get out. So go up the stairs, I don't bother to turn the work lights on because I know the theater like the back of my hand. So I'm walking through, pitch black, and it is truly horrifying. Like, I've said this in other episodes. When you walk in, you either feel like you're being watched constantly, or you feel nothing at all. Like, you're just like, all right, this is the theater, it's fine, whatever. This time I came in, and not only did I feel like I was being watched, I truly felt like somebody was in the room with me. So I like make a dash for the front door and I just open that door that comes before the front door. So I let a little bit of light in. I didn't see anybody, but it like, just when you know that somebody's there, you feel another body present. I felt it. I was horrified. So I'm fumbling around in the dark still because that door light doesn't do much. And eventually I find the brochure after several paper cuts and I book it out of there. And it was horrifying being in the auditorium, pitch black, and feeling like somebody's there with me. Like, that is just like, I don't think it gets scarier than that. So, Dad, if you want to use that, you go crazy on that. But it was, yeah, that was actually just a heinous experience. And I ran out, got in my car, and I came here. Now we're all good, but that was something. A great way to start the day off. But besides that, Saturday was yesterday. We had crew and lots of thank yous I'd like to throw out for the people who came to crew. But besides crew, we had a table at NT's Pride Fest. And a huge shout out to Tracy for organizing that, setting that up. And then shout out to everybody who was there to help make that a thing. They handed out so many flyers. They had merch. Like, really, Tracy like turned this around and made this like a big thing. So that's incredible to see. And everybody who stepped up and volunteered, truly from the bottom of my heart, that was like so cool to see that there's a booth happening for the theater that wasn't run by me or my dad or my mom, like people who have been there forever. It wasn't run by us. It was run by all these people who came in and love the place like we do. So like, I don't know, like that's just like, that's the goal. That's always been the goal, was to create something like that. So to see that happening is heartwarming, to say the least. So really thank you to all you who ran the booth. I mean, that's just like amazing. It really truly is amazing to me. So you guys are awesome. You make everything so much easier on all of us. Shout out to all you guys. And crew. So crew was a smaller crew. We've had a bunch of smaller crews for this set because the set is practically finished right now, which is like vastly different from Sweeney Todd. The many, many, many 12-hour crews of blood, sweat, and tears working on that chair, working on painting, whatever. And then Jenna and I will never forget this. Jenna, we are bonded for life because of this moment of stamping the floor with those two little... I got to get the measurements of it, but it's probably no bigger than your iPhone. And that's what we stamped a third of the stage with, like absolute lunatics, and then painted over for the next show. That was outrageous, but it looked fantastic. But yeah, this set is vastly different from all that. But shout out to Lucas, who's playing Jesus. Like, this is what I love about what we do. And I brought this up about Sean and Jenna before, and I'll retell that as well. But just seeing like the main, the star of the show come to crew and get into it, get into building the set, get into to painting, get into whatever they're going to do. Like, that is the coolest thing to me. It shows like there's no ego here. This isn't about ego. This is about us coming together to put on the best product that we can for whoever wants to come see it. And Lucas came, he was hyped. He did a lot. He helped reinforce all of our platforms. So, I mean, shout out to him. And then Sean and Jenna, I remember just telling Tracy, this was during Christmas Rose, no, Treasure Island. Treasure Island, neither of them were in Treasure Island. They just played Love It and Sweeney himself, and they were there busting their butts at a crew for a show that they weren't even in. Like, that's community. That's what we're building, and that's why I love doing what I do, and that's why this podcast is a thing, because we have a community. And I love that. I really am feeling very grateful for all of that. And that was, again, I don't know, exemplified. This is what I need somebody else here, because like, I don't know words. And it's Sunday. It's 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. My brain is not supposed to be functioning at this hour. But I mean, that was just shown to me again. For the season reveal, that was an amazing experience. I came on here and was complaining for what? What did I complain about? The anniversary party. I complain about a lot on here, so I got to like go through the laundry list. But at the anniversary party, like, I was complaining that something felt off, blah, 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 always whining. And this event really proved to be something different, and there's just a good energy about everything that happened there. And I'd love to thank everybody who helped with that. Callum and I were there the entire day on Friday. I took off of work and we decorated the doors. We got everything ready for behind the doors. That was fun. It's always fun to just be there all day and create something. And even though it was like a 20-minute reveal, we spent a lot of time putting all of that together. And we started the week before at Crew. And my sister Rose painted a pumpkin on the door. And then everyone who helped with the actual reveal itself, Callum, Ryan, Ari, Jared, my dad, Tracy, that was so much fun. And it's great to have like people you trust who can just... We literally just showed up at 5:30 for... Well, Ryan showed up at 6, so he halted all of our plans. So we we showed up then and really just threw the whole thing together. Like, I explained it to them like a crazy person, and they just all understood. They got it. They hit their marks, and we just had a fun time putting all that together. So thank you to all of you guys for being there. And then another part about Crew that I forgot is Jenna really spearheaded this green room project. If you know us, our green room has been one kind of messy, which happens after 20 years of thousands of random people being back there and just accumulating a mess from all that. And she's spearheading the project of cleaning it, organizing it. And her and I went out on Saturday and bought paint for it. So, yes, if you do know it, it will no longer be that horrid, rancid, heinous, abysmal, awful, whatever that was. It's not turquoise, because I like turquoise. I don't know what that color is, but it's horrible. It's heinous. It's awful. And it's not green, which I think... is probably going to drive me the most nuts coming in and seeing everybody's reaction to the new colors and then being like, oh, this isn't the green room anymore. It's like, it never was the green room. That the color, that bluish, I don't know, that color is not green either. So we're going to keep calling it the green room because it never was green. But the carpet is green. The carpet there is green. So like, until we do something with the carpet, you cannot say that we cannot call it the green room because it's never been green. And now somebody's going to come in. They're going to say that. They're going to make that comment. And I'm going to laugh along. And then they're going to go home and they're going to listen to this podcast. And then they're going to feel bad. So I'm sorry if you feel bad. But maybe make better jokes. That's all I got. But yeah, thank you to Jenna for starting that, because this is something I've wanted to do forever, and I'm very, very excited for the end product. And shout out to Claire. Claire is a new person in the cast of Jesus Christ Superstar. She showed up at Crew 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Bless your soul for waking up maybe 8 o'clock. That's when I wake up. And coming out for that. And she stayed until, God, I don't even know when we left. Probably stayed until like after 6 o'clock. That is putting the work in. And Claire was just out there going crazy on the set when we were backstage painting. She got so much accomplished. So really shout out there. That's an amazing accomplishment. A great addition to our group. I think that's all I got crew-wise. But it was a monster crew because we had to take apart all of our doors that we put up for our 20-minute reveal, which took a couple hours. So glad that this set is a little easier to manage. Now getting into the meat of this episode. The meat is, I didn't do a beef segment, but like, it feels so sad to be here alone and complain. Like that, I don't know. I feel like that's probably something I shouldn't do. But you can count all that good stuff as my veggie. All right, now I got some like cool like behind the scenes stories, I feel, which is also why I wanted to do this. Because like I still want to get these stories out there to the masses or, you know, whoever listens. So to start off the season, our fall thriller is Voices in the Attic. I'm going to read the little description we have here. Okay, Dancing Scarecrows, a secret call to vampires, a crazed axe murderer in the attic, a vengeful effigy who stalks the darkest forest, and evil clowns who peddle nightmares in back alleys are just some of the gruesome characters who populate Voices in the Attic. Written by L. Don Swartz. I cannot... I cannot explain how excited I am for this show. This was one, we recorded a podcast, I don't know if you listened to it, back in fall, I think, where my dad was on, and we went over all of his fall thrillers, and we got to Voices in the Attic, and I was like, at this point, we knew that we were doing it, and I was like, I want to share how much I love this show, but I don't want to give too much away. So people listening would be like, oh, they must be doing that because like he's familiar with it and they haven't touched the show since the 90s. So if you listen back, I don't remember what I say. I something like I read it because we thought about it a couple seasons ago and I fell in love with it because I wanted to get that out that this show is incredible. Actually, a funny story about it. We went to, my family was having dinner at my father's house, and he gave a script to my two sisters, and was like, here, you guys give this a read and tell me what you think. And I'm sitting there like, all right, I won't take this personally. It feels like an attack, but I'll get through it. And so he gives it to them, and they don't read it. They're just like, they're just not reading it. And he's like, I don't know why they're not reading it. And I'm like, well, maybe I have an idea why they're not reading it, because I'm the one who's running the theater. It's me and you. It's not you and them. So then he's like, oh, yeah. So he gave me a copy of it. I read it. I started reading it that night and looked at the clock like, all right, I got to get to sleep. I got work in the morning. But I really was like gripped into it. And so the next day at work, my lunch break was putting on spooky music and sitting in my two front seats. I like laid across my front seats and I finished that script with a sweatshirt behind me to like block the window. So it was like cool and spooky and dark in my car. And I was head over heels in love. So I came back to him right away and was like, yes, this is amazing. Like I don't remember feeling that way about any script I've read except Birds That Stay. Birds That Stay obviously is like one of my favorite. If you've listened to this, it's another L. Don original, fantastic show. I fell in love with that script immediately, read it a million times. Voices in the Attic has had the same effect on me, and it hasn't been touched in this building yet. So very excited for this to be the first time. It's amazing. And there's been multiple times throughout this process that the entire season has shifted and changed like a crazy amount. I don't remember changing a season this much ever. But I remember my dad would always bring up like, okay, well, we could do Voices like next year, like move it for this or do that. And that was the one show this season that I'm like, no, this is happening. We could do whatever else we have to do for the rest of the season. This show has to happen. So maybe the show I'm most excited about this whole season is Voices in the Attic. And my dad is directing it. Very, very, very excited to get into that. Once I know when auditions are, I'll come out here. There is a date set, but I don't know off the top of my head. But very, very excited for that. definitely see it if you're not going to audition for it, because it is it's edgy, and I don't know. I read it and I'm like, wow, like this is a lot. Like there's a lot of over the. I don't know. It's like toes the line. I think better than anything we've done in a long time. Where it's like, man, this is really, really, this is edgy, and it's scary. It's genuinely a scary show. So can't wait. Beyond excited for that. Then we have Spirits of the Dead. I have better diction than this, but like my throat and my nose is just like snot everywhere. Which I'm sure you love hearing. I'm sure like you're listening to this in the morning and you're like, that's exactly what I needed to hear on my commute to work. And you're welcome. That's why I'm here. Spirits of the Dead. Very excited about this. We knew pretty early on that we weren't going to be doing Night of the Living Dead, to my recollection. Yeah, pretty early on. I was slated to direct Night of the Living Dead, though. So I had a couple ideas for it, but I wasn't crazy excited about it. I've done it a couple times now. Doing that yearly was starting to take a toll on everyone's interest in it. Not just the audience, because the audience was growing, so I don't think that would have been an issue, but within the group, there was just kind of like, all right, like we got to do this again. And I'll say, I'm going to miss it. Like I'll miss it once we're at that time. And then whether we do it next season or not, we'll see. But I think I'll be a lot more ready for it if that's when we do it. And I think everyone will be. You'll start to miss it. But I will not miss latexing my eyes shut. Shout out Crystal for saving my eyeball. I will not miss being just absolutely filthy driving home. Like what is my life? I have chunks of cherry, chunks of chocolate in my hair, in my mustache. I have latex in my eyelashes, makeup everywhere, blood everywhere. I won't miss that right now. Maybe I will in fall. I'll try to share my experience on if I miss that this fall. But it'll be nice to have a break from being the most filthy, disgusting human being driving home and just just spending that time looking at yourself in the mirror and being like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? You got makeup everywhere. You got fake blood all over you. That's a big change. And his ideas for it are fantastic. Let me read this little blurb here. Rumor has it that the Ghostlight Theater is haunted. The time has come to set the record straight. It's not a rumor. So it's going to be a collection of ghost stories played out. And what we're going to do, this was not even talked about at the reveal party, so I'm very excited for that, is... Where this is Tracy's idea. Shout out Tracy for having an incredible mind to partner it with Ghost Hunts. So we'll have a package of tickets. This is brand new information and I'm just kind of sleeping through it right now. We'll have a package of tickets that you can buy that will get you into the show, one, and two, get you Ghost Hunt. So you can see all the stories play out. You can see where they play out. And then you can look around the theater. It's more of a tour than a hunt, right? But yeah, I think that's something really to look forward to and something that I would be interested in doing, even though I'm there for free all the time. Yeah, that sounds like a great, great show. I can't wait for that. And his idea is to create, I don't want to give like too much away because I don't know what he wants me to say and not say. But his idea is to create like little parts of the theater on the stage. So like there'll be a little thing that represents the auditorium, one that represents a costume room, the spiral staircase, all that good stuff. So super excited to share that with people. I think that's going to be so interesting. And so my dad is directing the first two, Voices in the Attic and Spirits of the Dead. Also with Spirits of the Dead, or Voices in the Attic. This is a show this season that has no set. So, I mean, that's what I talked about on here before. Like, my dad and I are so similar in a lot of ways. And this came up when we were talking with Sean Ward after the reveal party. And the way my dad was explaining it, Sean's like, "Wow, I'm surprised that you," pointing to me, "don't want to direct this, because like it's just pictures and like that's what you love to create." And like it kind of hit me then. I'm like, "Well, yeah, I like to create pictures because that's what my dad has done for well over 20 years, but the 20 years that I've been alive. So I've stolen that from him. I love creating pictures just like he loves to create them, but he loves to do it in places like no sets. My mind is just not functioning. I can't come up with words, but with a minimal set. And this Voices in the Attic set is not even minimal. It's just nothing. Like, it's just going to be a black stage. Very excited for that. I think it's such a new take after... I love going over the top with sets. Like, that's, like, my favorite thing. But now it's going to strip everything down. Be like, boom, focus on the actors. Focus on these stories. I think it's going to add to the horror of it, which I'm very excited for. But after I read it, I didn't know that's the way he was going to go. And Voices in the Attic is something that I would love to direct one day, but thinking about it, I think I might take it too far. There's stuff in here. There's dialogue. There's stories that, again, are like towing the line. So I was like, if I did this, like, I would just want people to go home completely traumatized. So my dad's a great judge of that and won't traumatize you, but he will make you think until the end of time. So, I mean, that's just brilliant. And I'm very excited for it. But the set, I think, is such a cool thing and shows how different we are, but still similar in the way that we love to create in similar ways. All right, now we come to my first show of the year, and that is A Christmas Carol. Announcing this, I was a little bit nervous. It's been, I think, like 6 years or something. I don't know. I could stop and do the math, but let's not kid ourselves here. That's not my strong suit. But yeah, like 6 years maybe. This was supposed to be an All Through the Night year. And I came on this podcast multiple times and said, "Oh, can't wait to do All Through the Night." It was real to start. We didn't change this until I don't even know when. But I sent a text to my dad that was like, I think we have to do A Christmas Carol this year. Like, I think that's the move. And he was like, I was going to say the same thing. So like, I love that. Like, it happened with Halloween Dreams, happened with this. Like, we're just on the same page. So nervous about the reaction to that because everybody loves All Through the Night. But when A Christmas Carol was announced, there was applause. And people seemed excited about it because it's been so long. So I'm very, very excited for that. This is my first time directing it. And this story means so much to me. This is how I fell in love with theater. It's been such a massive part of my life. And I can't believe, like, it makes no sense to me that this is my first time directing it. It's just the way that other seasons have worked out. I am over the moon. I'm so excited for it. It's going to be phenomenal. I've set ideas. Like, I could block the show tomorrow, and I just feel so good about it. I can't wait to get into it. I cannot wait. It's such like so. I do every show in the theater. I'm part of it somehow, and there are some Christmas shows that you're doing and you just get more of a Christmas feeling, whether it's nostalgia or it's the show itself. A Christmas Carol has always been one that it just feels like Christmas. It's got that real Christmas spirit to it. I want the carolers. I want the Christmas decorations. Like, I just want to inject everybody with Christmas as they come into it. So I'm very excited for that. And having Voices in the Attic is a great fall one to like set you up for Halloween. So I love that duo. I think that is brilliant and so exciting. So that's the top three right there to start our season off. And I'm already like, I want to start each of them right this second. And those are going to be ones that I want to like pause during and just be like, enjoy this moment. Cause these shows are fantastic. And they're going to leave a mark for sure. They're going to leave a mark. But I was trying to figure this out. We did a read through of All Through the Night during, Christmas Rose. And at that time, I was very much in the mindset that we were doing All Through the Night this coming season. When we did the read through. So I'm like, all right, like this is kind of like a mini audition for it. And I was very excited for it. I love that show with all my heart. But it was sometime during Christmas Rose that my dad and I texted each other like, I think it's time. I think we should do a Christmas Carol. And now it's going to set it up nicely that All Through the Night will go into Christmas Rose. So it'll be All Through the Night before Christmas Rose, which is how it's intended to be. So I'm very, very excited about that. Both of those back-to-back are going to be brilliant. Christmas Carol in there, brilliant. Very excited. And this is the first time that I've loved all three Christmas shows in a rotation. And I'm not saying we're just going to leave it at three. Maybe we'll add a fourth, a fifth, whatever. But yeah, I take a Christmas Carol, All Through the Night, Christmas Rose over It's a Wonderful Life over Yes, Virginia. I take that three. That's a powerhouse right there. So yeah, stoked for that. Now we move on to the pop of this season, I feel. This show changed the most out of any of them. This is our winter classic. We're doing The Hunchback of Notre Dame, or Notre Dame, however you want to go about that. It's a musical version. My whole life, we have not done a musical in the winter spot ever. So it's a huge, massive, crazy undertaking that I could not be more excited about embarking on. So we had so many different things in this slot. We were trying to figure this out forever. Eventually, we landed on something, and I'm going to give this out because it's mine. I wrote a show, start to finish. I wrote a show. I won't say what it is because we are going to do it eventually. And I was so excited and so happy with it, and just really, it's what we do. It really fits what we do. And I tried to take a lot from my dad without straight up copying him. Like, I tried to find my voice and do all that. And so the writing process of that was really interesting, really eye-opening. The one ghost story I shared on here, I was at the theater writing that show. So I'm excited to eventually get to that. But this was... I came to the decision after we did the ranking of the past seasons podcast. We went through where we're ranking them. If you haven't heard it, like the past 10 years or something. And I took a step back and I looked at the season that we announced, and everything would be the same except for, well, the comedy was one, but I can't say what the other comedy was because we're going to do that at some point as well. But the Winter Classic slot was my show. And I was proud looking at it, and I was very excited. But I wanted to do something different. I wanted to have had, like, you look at this, you're like, wow, like, that's massive. That's huge, like a monstrous show. And I'm very, very excited about that. And I'm very pleased with the reaction as soon as we announced it. Lots of shocked faces and really good reactions to it. And I don't want is for our actors who just act to feel like, oh, like this is like the musicals are taking over. No, that's not happening. This is not a permanent thing that we're going to do a musical every winter now. But I wanted to cause a little bit of chaos and shake things up. So I think what I want to set up is, I don't know, the thought that a musical could come in at any point in the season now, kind of cause chaos that way. But I'm not doing it just for the sake of it being a musical and like get a big cast and everyone loves a musical, right? That's not the point. I'm doing Hunchback because I fell in love with the music. The music is unbelievable. It's next level stuff. It's over the top. It's a little spooky. The story's fantastic. The set is going to be huge. Massive, maybe one of the biggest sets we've ever built. So very much looking forward to that. But I don't want to send the wrong message to anyone that like this is not a permanent thing. We're not going to do musicals every winter, but musicals will probably creep into the regular, the main season more, the straight plays more. But it's not a permanent fixture, but. I was coming off of Sweeney Todd, and my friend at work, Nick, is his name. He came, he saw Sweeney Todd, he said he loved it. He's like, listen to this show, it's Hunchback. I was like, not too crazy interested in that. He played Hellfire, and if you know the cartoon version, it's very, very close to the show, to what we're doing. And the show adds a couple more songs. So he plays Hellfire for me, and I'm like, yeah, that's a banger. I'll admit it, that's a banger. So I add it to my musical playlist. It pops up every now and again. I'm like, yeah, that's really cool. Fast forward a couple months, he starts talking about it again, and I'm like, yeah, it is good. He's like, you got to listen to more songs from it. They're like, Hellfire is great, but listen to more. So I do. I get into the whole soundtrack, and I fall head over heels in love with it. It's awesome. It's gritty. It's big, but it's still like it still has that fantasy feel. Like it's not like, oh, I'm going to sit here and be terrified at this. It's like, it's a fantasy. It's really cool. It's going to be different from what we do, but it's very much what we do. So everything's just kind of lined up for it. And Callum and I that were at the theater for what we were doing. We're building the superstar set. Callum was building the set. I showed up after work. Tracy and I had a meeting. We're looking at financial things like, hey, we want to do raised seating. We want to do this, that, whatever. We need to make a splash. And so I'm racking my mind. I'm like, I really am enjoying listening to Hunchback. I was kind of deep diving into it at this point and recognized that it is something I very much want to do at some point. And I called my dad and I was like, Dad, look, I know my show is slated for the Winter Classic. He read it. All right. This is a whole nother thing about my show. I gave it to my dad. He read it. He read Act One. He hasn't read Act Two yet. And he gave me like one of the best things I've ever read, about the work. Like it was just really, I asked for notes and he just gave like a really great thing. So it made me feel fantastic. Showed me and gave me faith that like I do have writing skills in me. So in the future, hopefully I will be writing more. But I called him up and I'm like, I think we should do Hunchback in the Winter Classic slot, but do the musical version. And it went silent on his end. And I was like, it's over. I'm done. I'm not even directing any of these shows. He's going to kick me out. And he did not love the idea at all. But once he saw how excited I was about it, then he got excited about it. So I'm very excited to do it and show everyone, like, look, this isn't because it's a musical. This isn't for the money. This isn't for any of that. It's because it's a bad A show, and I cannot wait to put it on and just wow people. The music is unbelievable. Go listen to the music if you haven't. Unbelievable. Out there, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I could talk about it forever, but I'm sure we'll have multiple podcast episodes for it and multiple 12-hour crews for that one as well. But I am looking forward to it. And Taylor, who is my music director now, for Jesus Christ Superstar, Taylor is doing the music direction for that. So I could not be more excited to work with her again. She is amazing. It's really been inspiring to watch her go through the music of Jesus Christ Superstar with everyone. And she keeps everyone excited, and she'll run something that it sticks with people. And she's really fantastic. So shout out Taylor. Can't wait to work with her on Hunchback. She was very excited about that. Which brings us, boom, straight to the comedy. The comedy is a Neil Simon comedy. So on paper, it's A Good Doctor. So on paper, it's a bunch of stuff that I don't like in one place. It's Neil Simon. It's a comedy. So at first I was a little like, okay, whatever. But I told my dad from the jump, like, I don't want to do a comedy. I don't want to direct a comedy ever again. I don't have good opinions on comedies. So you pick whatever you want to pick for that slot. And he got really excited about this show. So that's enough for me to like jump in. Dive in like head first, right into this show. So I'm excited about everything he's told me about it. It seems like more of like a dry sense of humor, which is very, very much me. That's the kind of stuff I laugh at, and funny, just funny, stupid situations. So I'm definitely looking forward to it because it's different. It's something that we haven't touched. It's classic. So I think everybody gets something out of the comedy. So I'm excited for that. And I'm excited that he was excited. If you've ever directed something in your life or even been in something that you don't like, it's so hard. It's so incredibly hard to get into it and get excited. The Jesus Christ Superstar cast has done a great job for me. Of once I show up, it's easy to get excited with them about what we're doing. A lot of people love Superstar. A lot of people are excited about the show, but the cast energy about it really is rejuvenating. But it's so much easier when you like what you're doing. So I'm very excited to maybe even possibly audition for it. It's great to make people laugh. I mean, it's important. So excited. I'm excited for The Good Doctor. And it is good to get classics out there and do them. I'm all in on that. That's one that my dad's directing. So far he's got Voices in the Attic, Spirits of the Dead, and The Good Doctor. So far I have A Christmas Carol and The Hunchback. Now, I broke a monster rule in picking my musical. We are doing Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. It has not been 10 years. It has, I think once we do it, it'll be 8 years. I think I did the math properly before. I mean, 8 is practically 10, right? That's close enough. I love this musical. I'm so excited. I can't wait to share it with everybody. Because there's a lot of people, either you love it or you're like, yeah, I've heard of it, but like I'm not crazy into it. I'm excited to get everybody excited about it. It's just a burst of energy. It's a burst of color. It's a burst of light. I am so excited to get into it, and I will be singing those songs like a madman. Carla, if you're going to be around next summer, I'm going to be back on my Tennessee grind. She told the story on here where we went on vacation. She came with my family after we did Joseph last time, and literally the entire trip, I was singing Joseph constantly. The songs are awesome. I'm really gonna be in my bag about this summer. Like I cannot wait to get into it. And it's light and it's fun, and it's so different from Hunchback. So the two musicals we're doing could not be more different. But I'm very, very excited for both of them. Hunchback, just a whole new situation. And it's going to take a lot of work to get that going. So once I picked Hunchback, Joseph was not my original musical choice. I requested rights for something like 3 months ago, and I never heard back. I told some people what it was, but I won't say it on here, because once I can do it, I will do it. But they never got back to us about the rights for that. So I'm kind of happy about it, because then it caused me to reconsider a lot of what the season was and put Hunchback in the winter slot. And I was like, I want something that I know we can handle, so I don't burn myself out. Musicals, as a director, are a weird thing. Like Sweeney Todd, I was completely burnt. I was fried to a crisp. This show, Jesus Christ Superstar, we're not nearly as far into, but I'm not burnt yet, because it's not, they're so different. They're very, very different. So I feel like as a director, you're either there for staging and helping the story along, or Sweeney, where I was like, I was in it. Every moment had to be right. Every picture had to be right. Superstar relies just so heavily on the cast and their acting and singing ability that it's very different. And I feel the same way about Hunchback and Joseph. Like Hunchback, I'm going to be in on every note, every line, every movement you make. Like that has to mean something. Joseph is more like Superstar and both Andrew Lloyd Webber, where it's more reliant on the talent of your singers, and it's a show. It really is just a show. And I'm so excited. They couldn't be more different, but they're both incredible shows. And my goal, let me tell you this right now, my goal is to beat the first Joseph in what, 2006, I think? Because everybody who's in that is pretty obnoxious about that's the number one musical still. It's been the number one musical for a while. People were standing in the back to see it. It's a magnificent show. So my goal is to beat that. Joseph, 2006, I'm coming for you. I am hunting you down. I will do whatever it takes for my Joseph to be on top. And the cool part, my music director and my choreographer for Joseph are going to be Joanne and my mom. So my mom and Joanne did every summer together. They were the musical for forever. And then I took over. Now we're going to work together on Joseph. I think it's just going to be an unbelievable show. I'm so very excited for it. Yeah, I don't know. This is, Callum talked about like not being able to trust a word I say. And that's sometimes true when it comes to the season. But also, I don't know where the Les Mis rumor came from, but obviously we're not doing Les Mis. And, I mean, the rights, like, we can't get the rights. The rights aren't completely available. They're restricted because it's always on tour. So sometimes you can believe me. Sometimes you can't. But, like, Joseph I talked about a lot, and, like, oh, we can't do it because it hasn't been 10 years. I'm A-OK breaking that rule for Joseph. Joseph is going to be awesome. And the songs will get stuck in your head. That is a guarantee. And then Winter, I don't just want to walk right over this. Our Winter Discovery series returns with I Never Saw Another Butterfly. Very important. What we do there is so important, bringing schools in and sharing this important story. So that's returning again. Awesome. I think that's a great setup. A great thing that we have there is letting the kids see that. I would love to expand the Winter Discovery series. That's one that's in March. We bus in quite a few schools. They fill the auditorium. It's crazy to see. It's just full of children. And they watch these kids put on this story about a concentration camp. And it's very moving, but it's a great thing to get these kids in and seeing the theater. That's how we got so many of our actors now. So I think that's a very important thing set up by Carla and Marissa and Tracy and my dad and Julie. They helped to keep that running. So, yeah, excited for that. I'm excited for everything this season. I can't wait. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I won't say it. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I wanted to say, like shows that we had. Like, just how different this season was in October. I was telling a bunch of people, like, I hope that this is the season we end up with back in October. And this season couldn't be any more different, except for Voices in the Attic. That's been the one constant this whole time. But I'm so, so excited for this. I now, again, have the feeling, once we announce the season of Frankenstein and Here We Sit and Sweeney Todd, like, I remember that summer, I was so excited. Like, I just wanted, like not, like, I obviously I'm enjoying Superstar, and I can't wait to put that on, but I cannot wait to get into this season. Everything's a hit. Everything's a banger. So become a subscriber. I mean, it's absurdly cheap. That's putting it nicely. To become a subscriber, you get tickets to all five main shows. It's only $60. $60, man. I spend more money DoorDashing sometimes. But that's me. I mean, I'm a big guy, right? I like my food. But, $60, that's unbelievable. I can't talk. I'm literally just choking over my words. Become a subscriber. I mean, it's cheap. This season is unbelievable. I cannot wait. But it does set a really high bar for next season, which, believe it or not, I already have many ideas for. I mean, here it is. I can't wait. I can't wait to do, like, the podcasting stuff for it, too. Just thinking about getting into Voices and getting into Christmas Carol and, yeah, very, very excited. So if you came, thank you for coming to the reveal. It was a great time. And again, it was just heartwarming to see as many people as we had there and talk to everybody afterwards and get everyone's opinion and feedback. And I love where we're at right now. And I love what we're building. And thank you for being a part of our community. I appreciate every single one of you for showing up and being who you are. I think that's all I can yap about. I am so unbelievably tired. I am, I don't even know what I talked about. This episode might be crap. It might be crap. I don't know. But it feels appropriate that I'm here on Father's Day being the father of this podcast. I have, what episode is it, 70 something? It's like I have 70 gifts from my podcast child. And, maybe not all 70. They're not all good episodes. But the ones that are, I appreciate it. It's been fun. I can't wait for many more years of doing this podcast. Thank you for listening. If you made it this far, I'm just kind of rambling. I'm just kind of closing my eyes here and trying not to fall asleep. But yeah, thanks for listening. Follow us on social media, Starry Night Theater on Instagram, Facebook, Threads. If anybody's still on Threads, who's on Threads, man? If you're on Threads, like, maybe reevaluate what you're doing, bro. That's I don't know about Threads, man. But we're on TikTok too. Ari and Tracy do great with the TikTok. Come see Jesus Christ Superstar. Opens July 25th. We're going to have quite a few people on from Superstar. The cast is amazing. They're so crazy talented, man. They're really awesome, awesome people. So, yeah, come support them. Come support the theater. Become a subscriber. $60. I think that's a great gift, too. You give somebody a $60 subscription. They probably think it's a little more. You come off looking like a good guy. And they get to see shows, man. They get to see 5 shows. But you also don't want to miss out on our two other shows. Our fall fundraiser, Spirits of the Dead, is going to be crazy awesome. And the Winter Discovery is always just very moving. So, yeah. That's it. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.